Warm it up, Sean.
We have an exciting show for you today, ladies and gentlemen. Specifically you, Katie. We've got some interesting things that are developing as we speak.
Okay.
Welcome to another episode of Opinions That Don't Matter. I'm Sean.
I'm Katie.
And we are chitty-chatting about all sorts of interesting things today.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Where do you want to start?
Since you're the one that has these interesting things, I think you start.
Okay. Well, right off the top, I found a new sport.
Okay.
And I know that we've talked about
it. Is it as good as Quidditch?
I think it's even better.
Oh.
I think it's probably the same people. When Quidditch season starts, they go for a couple of months. Oh, definitely. The grass has to be green. You don't want to stay in the stands and when it's snowing. It can be dangerous, icy.
True. All the flying around.
Yeah. But when Quidditch is over, the people go into another sport.
Which is? Drum roll, please.
Combat juggling.
No.
Yes. Combat Look what I have found. Juggling. I'll put it up on the screen as well.
Oh, there's a bunch of... Oh, no.
I think that we have a new sport to get into. So why don't you explain what you're seeing here?
So they're essentially, imagine people juggling and trying to hit away the other person's things that they're juggling, but they both have to continue juggling as they do this, and it's very stupid.
It's not stupid.
And they whack each other with, so they're juggling like the, what do you even call those things?
Pins?
Yeah, it looks like a pin, yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like a bowling pin. They're juggling those pins, and they use the pin and just whack people's hands.
It looks like there's about six people on the court for each team, maybe five. And so I guess they're playing defense and offense. It's very exciting.
I think it's who's left standing, like how many.
Like dodgeball meets combat juggling. It's very intense.
And they're all only juggling three pins. It's not like someone's got like eight going and another person only has two or something.
We should find out if there's a league around us. Yeah, we could join.
No. I don't want to join any of that. It looks like dorkdom.
What? No, 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 no.
Total loserville.
I regret mocking another sport previously, disc golf. And since then, I've just...
Well, we have lots of people in our audience, actually, that do that.
I know.
This, I don't think, is real.
No, it is. It's on ESPN. The Ocho.
The Ocho. Dodgeball.
Yeah. Anyways, I just thought I'd start us off with a fun sport.
Whenever I see something like that on TikTok or in Reels, I always take to the comments. What do people say?
Let's see what the people say.
That's really tells us where it's at. Are there any choice ones?
The first comment says, perfect for your new station, ESPN 8, The Ocho. Why don't we just go ahead and make competitive cleaning a sport?
That's a good comment. See, that I would sign up for, competitive cleaning.
Oh, here's someone who's pissed off. It's disc golf with a black guy, and he says... But disc golf isn't a sport, huh?
So he's mad.
He's mad.
Wow.
Y'all can give this coverage, but not roller derby? Ugh.
Is this on ESPN for real?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. I thought you were joking.
This was posted by ESPN.
Most of people are mad.
On their reels, yeah.
That's crazy.
But some people aren't mad. This person says, hey, how do I gamble on this?
Somebody has a problem.
Oh, yeah. I follow a channel. And it's called Degenerate Gamblers. And it's funny. You know, it's like things that they would say. And
you poke fun at people who have an illness.
Well,
an addiction.
No, they're saying they're a degenerate gambler.
Oh, that they are.
Yes.
I see.
And so they're always making comments about being. Yeah.
Yep.
It is an illness, but some of the behaviors are a little funny.
You know what it reminds me of? I forget what is it. It's not summer. It's Vacation, Family Vacation, that film. Remember where he goes, he's like the worst gambler ever.
Oh, yeah. Vegas Vacation.
Vegas Vacation. And he ends up at like the penny tables or something. I don't know. And he can't even afford that. It's really, Chevy Chase's character really goes down a dark hole of bad gambling decisions and loses all his money.
From the brunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes and he's like, oh, I just have to go to the bathroom. And he
goes to gamble and he keeps losing money and he ends up at like cheaper and cheaper tables until
it's guess my number.
Yeah. And he's like four. And the guy's like seven. Nope. And he's like,
damn.
It's like his last dollar. It's so bad. But that's what made me think of.
Yeah. Oh, a tourism agency apologized after sexualizing a Canadian city's name.
Regina.
That's exactly what they were. When I was a kid, I think we've talked about this before. I was like, whenever I'd hear that, I was like, because I didn't know where Saskatchewan was.
Well, nobody does.
I mean, I knew it existed, but I didn't know that Regina. It's
in the plains.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I thought it was weird that they even pronounce it Regina. Like, it looks like Regina. And then there'd be no jokes. All vagina jokes aside.
Right.
Regina. I had a girlfriend that I knew in middle school. Her name was Regina Gray. And it was spelled exactly like you guys apparently like to say Regina. Maybe this is the same reason you guys say process instead of process. I find that funny, too.
Yeah.
Process.
Okay. Hey.
Hey, this is getting too personal.
So when it comes to rebranding itself, a Canadian tourism agency organization want to be both bold and cheeky. Okay. On Thursday, it released a music video to announce its new name, Experience Regina. The slogan has been used as a joke about Regina, the capital city of Canadian province, Saskatchewan, after a 2008 YouTube video popularized the phrase.
Mm.
The gag, Regina rhymes with vagina.
Instead, of course.
Well, obviously, when I speak about it.
We know how to pronounce it, but people could say Regina.
Yeah,
Experience Regina. It. Yeah.
But here's where it gets a little dicey. The announcement included racy new slogans promoting the city, such as, show us your Regina. And that city rhymes with fun.
Those are clever.
I guess, but.
If we take out the fact that it rhymes with vagina, tons of businesses do, or corporations will say, show us your Nikes, show us your fun, show us, there was one, I think Old Navy even did something like, show us your Old Navy. And it's like, you know, how are you styling it?
Whoa. I said, your Old Navy, not your, yeah.
It doesn't rhyme with anything, Sean.
It rhymes with fun.
But if you... At the very least, I think nowadays, if you want to get attention, they did it. Good job, Regina. People talked about it. It was on social media. And sometimes I think when people hate something, it gets just as popular as when people love something.
Right. On Twitter, the hashtag is show us your Regina.
I just don't want to go to Regina because it's in Saskatchewan, which is just like...
No.
You said you didn't even know where it was.
Well, I didn't.
That's like in the States, like, I don't really know much about Missouri.
Well, maybe we should go and it'll change our minds.
Are you from Missouri? Tell me what there is to do there.
I think Al Capone used to have a hideout in Saskatchewan, in Moose Jaw.
Okay.
Yeah. During Prohibition, he would go hide out in Canada while the heat was on, as they would say in gangster
heat
talk.
Heat is on.
Yeah, that was his song.
He just ride his car up through the plains. Through the plains of the States to the plains of Canada.
Past Regina, hang a left, and you go to Moose Jaw.
Yep.
Okay.
Cool. What's the population of Saskatchewan in comparison to other provinces? Because I have a feeling it is not as high.
That's a good question. I'm going to guess 1.5 million. In Saskatchewan. Could be more.
Okay. Let's see. 1.1.
They're almost there.
They're really not growing at all. Manitoba is 1.3.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Saskatoon?
Saskatoon is in Saskatchewan.
Oh, it's very, right, very, very low.
Yeah. Population. It's right before you get to the Rockies, I believe. So you're driving out in the prairies.
But Alberta... 4.3.
Yeah.
British Columbia, 5 million. Regina, Saskatchewan, 228,000.
It's the big city.
That's not very many people.
That's a lot of people.
Okay.
We reach that once a month on OTDM on Spotify. All of Regina tunes in.
All of
they're
Regina.
They're like, they're talking about us.
Yay. So their largest city is not Regina. It is Saskatoon.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's funny.
Wow.
So anyways, I don't know what the population of Quebec is. I guess I should ask that too, since we're talking trash on Saskatchewan.
Right. I'm going to say 5 million.
I've only ever met... That can't be right.
What?
Quebec. 542,000.
No, that's the city of
Quebec. It must be the city. That's why I was like, that can't be right. Oh, the province is 6.1.
6.1. I was close.
It says it's mainly Francophone.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
They got a stronghold.
That's, the foundings of Canada, you know, the Francophone.
Yeah, the Francophones, French is 2.1 million, so it'd be 28, almost 30% of the population. And then the next largest is Irish. So that's like you in a nutshell.
Hey, have you heard about Gwyneth Paltrow's new viral wellness tip?
What other horrible advice is she giving over on Goop?
So it is on Goop, and it's questionable medical wellness
techniques. Well, she got in trouble. They got sued for that, like, a vagina weight thing, like I don't know. I have to look it up. I don't even know what to call it.
I thought there was the vagina smelling candle. I remember that.
But that's its own thing. This was like a jade ball thing that you put inside, I guess, and hold your muscles to hold it in.
Oh, like the Kegel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like when you're doing a reverse bicep curl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well.
Jade egg. That's what it was called.
I bet she charges a lot for that.
Goop, the lifestyle and e-commerce site started by a Hollywood darling, Gwyneth Paltrow, darling, my ass, has settled a $125,000 lawsuit connected to false advertisements of a $66 vaginal jade egg, which the company said balanced hormones, what? prevented uterine prolapse and much, much more.
I mean,
scientists and research beg to differ.
Yeah.
It's not. So the prosecutors, when they won there, said it was not supported by competent, reliable, or any scientific evidence.
She's since moved on.
Because Goop was banned from doing certain things then after that, but we don't have to get into it.
She is now, Paltrow shares that she's received something called ozone therapy.
Oh yeah, people get that.
Right. But it's administered rectally.
No.
Yeah, and she's found it very helpful.
That's a lie.
No. This is
on the Onion.
No.
Because the ozone, usually they do it like a facial
thing. MSNBC. The problem with rectal ozone therapy, of course, isn't that it's weird. Medicine is full of so-called weird, but clinically effective and demonstrably safe things, including other rectal treatments, like taking donated feces and transplanting it into the colon of another person.
What?
Yeah.
Is that to help with your like immune system or your biome or your...
To fight bacterial infection. Yeah. So you're using someone else's biome. But anyways, ozone is not one of those things that you should be doing, especially of your butt. So someone should tell her. It's dangerous.
Oh.
But, you know.
I mean, she can talk about what she's done as long as she's not trying to sell it.
Who's the doctor who's that good of a salesperson? Like, I've heard the saying... Oh, that guy, he could sell, you know, ice to the Inuits or...
Yeah.
But who's telling you...
Or a ketchup lollipop to a woman wearing white gloves.
That's a good one. Yeah. Someone's a hell of a good doctor salesperson out there.
I don't think they're a doctor. That would be my guess.
Gwyneth, you look great. I mean, you know, what are you, 55? But we have something... You've done all the treatments. You've done all the tightening, the firming, the serums... You did the jade egg. You invented the jade egg. We have something for you that is it's very, very...
Bozone. Yeah.
The butt zone. We take the word butt and ozone. We put them together for butt zone. It's a new treatment.
Yep.
We're still workshopping it. We'd like you to be the flagship, the face of it. We'd like you to be the ass of it, right?
I guess I looked her up. There's a ski collision trial.
Yes, that's going on right now.
She's 50. What happened? It was a 2016 crash.
Yeah. I really like her as an actress.
Oh, she's very talented. I just know she's an asshole. And I know people who worked with her and said she's terrible. She's like horrible to staff and like rude. And I will never tolerate people like that.
I did have a brief encounter with her at Tracy Anderson's studio.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's where you met Kim Kardashian.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't really meet her. I mean,
you saw her.
Bumped into her at the parking meter. Which was
so what happened with the ski thing? Did she hurt somebody?
She was whizzing down the hill. She crashed into someone. He said that he was severely injured or something, broken ribs. But she just kept going after she laid into him. Or not laid into him.
But
she
had
hit
a collision.
Him. Yeah, and then he was knocked down. I think some of her friends said they checked on him and he said he was fine. He was probably confused. You get hit on the ski hill, you're like, what the hell? Was that
also, but also, I doubt you'd notice because you're wearing so much gear, you'd never know who anybody was. But I think... In general, the rule of the ski hill, you guys, if you don't know this, if you don't ski or snowboard or anything like that, the rule is if you're going faster, you're responsible.
Also, the people in front of you have the right of way because they're not looking behind.
Because they can't see you. You're coming up behind.
Yeah.
So you have to pay attention.
So anyway, she's being sued for, I don't know, like $500,000 or something.
Jesus. Sometimes I wonder if stuff like that, it's just because they found out it was Gwyneth Paltrow. And if it was like me, they'd be like, I'm fine, dude. See you later. Get me a beer down at the, lodge.
Allegedly, as she skied by and knocked him down, she said, get out of my way. I'm Gwyneth Paltrow.
you don't, you know who I am.
Yeah.
No, but you know, you think of stuff like that when people know you have money.
For sure. Someone can have a slip and fall, you know, on your property.
We're a litigious society in the United States. This was in Utah.
Boy, I felt like I was shot out of a cannon to start this podcast.
Why?
Was I? Oh, I've just got so many things on my mind.
Oh, I
was
see.
I talking quickly?
No, you're fine.
You want to hear something else that just happened in
of,
the news?
Of course.
All right. As you know, there's been a show that I've watched since I was a child, although in recent years I've kind of let it go by the wayside, but it's certainly part of the fabric of society. Everyone knows it. In fact, the host and the co-host are beloved members of our collective history.
America or Canadian?
International.
Mm.
Pat Sajak and Vanna White.
Why did I think that was what you're going to say? We don't watch that show at all.
No.
But when we were kids, I watched it when I was little.
For sure. Everyone, you're like, come on, go. You
and,
know,
and how they're still doing it.
Right? Talk about Groundhog's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he snapped.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a long time.
You know, back in
the
day.
He had a good run.
Yeah. Vanna would actually have to turn the letters. Mm-hmm. Now she just walks by and she's so powerful. She just puts her hand out and looks at the camera and ping.
She touches a little area and it changes. It's like they're all little screens now.
Yeah. I think she's the real star of the show. Although he used to be, but I think.
What happened? So tell us.
So they have, I think it's three people, right?
Mm-hmm.
That are up there. And there was one guy who was winning quite a bit. This was, I think, this week or last week. And I think he was a little bit, he was talking about being like a wrestler and he was a little aggressive. I don't know. I didn't see it. I'm reading the trash headlines, right?
That's totally fair.
Mm-hmm.
It's also so Wheel of Fortune. So
the guy makes it to the final round, you know, okay. And he wins 75 grand.
Wow. Awesome. Good for him.
Right. Right. And he's excited.
The government's going to take half
his
of
dad.
It.
Right.
Womp, womp, womp. Nobody talks about that. The fact that like when they win these things, there was a woman. So this is what I love about TikTok. There are quite a few people, you can actually search for it, people who've won either Wheel of Fortune or The Price is Right.
Oh, yeah. The Showcase Showdown.
The Showcase Showdown. And they talk about the tax man coming for them. And so a lot of people don't keep any of the stuff. They just take cash and then half of it goes to the government because otherwise you have to pay royalties.
Taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Essentially taxes, but they call it royalties.
Oh.
Or not royalties.
Windfall tax, maybe?
What's it called? Fuck. Now I forgot. Okay, continue. Sorry. I'll look into that. But it's anyway, you have to pay for the goods that you won.
Yeah.
Isn't the government so goods. Much fun?
They
look
do that
at
too.
You won something. Congratulations.
Olympic athletes competing for their country. They come home.
You have to pay taxes?
On their medals.
What?
Yeah, yeah. So if you come home.
God damn it. Government, get your hands out of everything, you fucking dirtbags. Mm. And stop using our money to like decorate your offices and shit.
Yeah.
Let people have a thing. I want a thing. Yay. The government should be like, awesome. This will keep, you know, you'll pay taxes on the things you purchased with this money that you got.
So the guy's dad comes out of the audience and he's celebrating. You know how they do that after they win?
Yes.
Celebrate. And he's so excited. And out of the blue, Pat Sajak grabs him. Twists his arm. No, twists his arm behind his back and puts his other arm around the guy's neck. Look, here's a photo of it. He just like, I don't know if Pat Sajak was frustrated with
him. Was it a joke because he's a wrestler?
I think he was probably joking, but apparently he was pretty rough with the guy and the guy was taken aback. So
he could have ripped his rotator cuff or something.
Yeah. So Pat Sajak, don't mess with that dude. You know,
it's weird. Look at him. He's like choking the guy out. Jesus Christ. Okay. They just call it taxable winnings.
Mm.
And you have to pay at least 37% plus your state stuff. So that's federal.
Right. So let's say in the Showcase Showdown, I win the vacation.
Mm-hmm.
What's your dream vacation you win? Like everyone out there, I know in the audience has probably already thought of what's my dream Showcase Showdown? You know, I got the sports car. I've got the Barca lounger. I've got the patio furniture set, the ceramic dog.
I knew you were going to say the ceramic dog.
You know, I'm so excited about all the stuff,
mm-hmm.
but a trip mm-hmm. around the world, right?
Sure.
So that's what, $7,000 in the 80s.
Let's say like 15.
Okay. So what's an expensive Showcase Showdown?
I think usually, well, I don't know. our eras are different. We're off by 8 years, which is a little different. Also, I might have watched it later in my life than you did. I don't know. But I remember people bidding in the 30s and 40s for the Showcase Showdown. Yeah, that would be my...
To stay competitive against the other game shows, I'm sure they had to ratchet up a notch. Because when I was a kid, it was like the Showcase Showdown was you get a trip to Branson, Missouri.
Oh, it was like local.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I've seen some of those.
And you get a Geo Metro.
I've seen some of those, though, too. But a lot of them, when I was watching, were like, it still wasn't necessarily like these huge trips. There were some like to Italy or whatever. It was usually like Hawaii or Florida or California or something like that. You know, they were still in the States.
The power of how Wheel of Fortune was in the beginning was very interesting. So at the end of the round, if you solved the puzzle correctly and you had $10,000 or $5,000 or whatever, Pat Sajak would say, okay, and now we'll take a look at what you could potentially win. And then the set, what they were all looking at, would rotate around and there'd be a plethora of prizes. There'd be couches and paintings.
I
don't remember this.
I never watched it enough, I guess. I watched The Price is Right way more.
Right. And so, you know, people would pick, oh, I'll take the chaise lounge. I'll take the...
The chase lounge,
the TV and the wood cabinet, you know, because this was the '80s. I'll take the hi-fi stereo player.
Ooh, with a Walkman.
I'll take a Walkman. Mm. You know, those were expensive back in the day. That's like $900. So you're dwindling down.
$900 for a Walkman?
When they first came out. Yeah. They were super
expensive. By the time I came around, they were like, I don't know, $60. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And that's crazy. But then you'd have like $40 left because the numbers wouldn't match up. There'd be like price tags and everything in this living room. And then inevitably there'd be a ceramic dog and it would be like a Dalmatian and people would always be like,
oh, I'll take,
I guess I got $40. I'll take the ceramic dog. Oh, good choice. Good choice.
It's like the only choice. I'll take that fake plant. Oh, that's not for sale. Oh shit. Okay. Well, ceramic dog it is.
Canister set of ducks, you know, that was ceramic.
Yeah, canisters.
Well.
Yeah. For the kitchen, for all your flour, sugar. And
in the '70s, it would have been mushrooms.
And yes. Mushrooms.
Owls. I would believe.
Yep.
And then in the '80s, it transitioned to ducks, blue and white ducks.
Everybody loved the ducks. Yeah. Actually, my Aunt Dina's kitchen was blue duck.
Yeah. It was a theme.
It was a theme. Mm-hmm. It's funny because we kind of hop, skipped and jumped over that as a family. So we hung in the '70s through the '80s. We just held.
Okay.
Just gonna hold. We went brown, orange, yellow, green, right off to the sunset.
Right into the '90s.
Into the '90s. Just skipped over all the ductum. But my aunts and cousins and stuff, like my Aunt Teresa also fell into the duck game.
Yeah.
Lots of blue and white.
Duck goose. Who's the silly goose?
Who's the silly? It's us. We're the silly gooses. Anyway, yeah.
We skipped over the Showcase Showdown part. I'm sorry.
No, but all I want to, I'll finish. Do yourself a favor. If you need a giggle, having a shitty day, jump over to the YouTubes, which you're already on probably because you're watching us. And look up funny Wheel of Fortune and funny Price of Right. The Price is Right.
Fails?
Yeah, they have. It's not even fails. They don't call it fails. I bet if you just look up funny Wheel of Fortune, they do these essentially, what do you call it when you put it's like a bunch of clips together. A compilation, you will, of all the ridiculous things people guess. So, you know, letters pop up and people say the most inappropriate things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think one person thought it was like penis and it was not at all. And it's just very funny. So do yourself a favor and check those out.
I remember a couple of fails from Price is Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually involved...
you mean Wheel of Fortune or Price is Right?
Price is Right.
Okay.
You know the big wheel that you would spin?
Some people get hit by it.
I saw
a lady...
They
knock themselves out.
She
because they lean into it.
And it like drug her under the ground. And I thought she was going to be fed underneath the thing. I was like, oh no. But she didn't release. She was so excited.
Mm-hmm. I've seen so many people almost fall down or almost get caught. And what's his butt would pull them back, Bob Barker. Well, right? He's probably like, that fucking wheel. So dangerous.
Yeah.
Yep.
I saw someone fall from the Plinko, the height of Plinko. They fell off the back. I guess it was just like scaffolding. And well, the person dropped it and got all excited and went backwards. That was a good one. He just disappeared off the side.
Hopefully they have like...
Cut
like,
to commercial.
Like a foam pit back there.
I always liked the yodeler. That was
the one. Yeah, when he'd go... And he'd stop.
Yeah.
And you're how like, far is he going to go?
You really push.
Is he going to fall off? If he falls off, we lose. Yeah, The Price is Right was so much fun. Because you never knew which games were going to come out.
Some people were so good at it, though.
Some people were very good. There was that one guy that kept... He had done a bunch of research and prepared.
Ken Jennings?
I don't know.
No, that's...
But there's a documentary on Netflix now about him, but I haven't watched it or anything. But I remember hearing about it in the news. It was like in the 80s, I want to say.
Oh, the cheater.
Yeah, because he had prepared ahead of time. He knew what they... It wasn't really cheating so much as it was like... You know, when they, I guess counting cards and stuff they say is cheating, but it's like someone being acutely aware of the game that they're playing. I know, I'm not saying you should cheat. I'm just saying they always say that, but like he had prepared. So he knew how much everything cost. And so he got it right on the money every time. And then they tried to sue him or take away his winnings and he won, I think.
He's like the Rain Man of Price is Right.
Yeah, because he'd prepared ahead, I think.
I think the one on Netflix right now, though, is about... The guy was cheating. He could hear the announcement before. I don't know how he could hear it before, but there was some sort of loophole. He was, anyways, not sure.
Okay, here. Oh, no. Damn.
What was your...
So Terry Neese was the... after Terry Neese's legendary appearance on The Price is Right, some explanations began to pop up online. Unsurprisingly, some observers believed Neese cheated, even though they had no idea how that would have worked. But he got banned. Oh, also, contestant Ted Slauson was banned. Wow.
You know you're a real fink when you get booted from The Price is Right for cheating.
So Ted Slauson learned how to beat the system, leading to a controversial double showcase win. Oh, interesting.
How do you win the double showcase? You had to
be you within... get it right. It's like within $20 or $50 or $100. It's like a certain amount of money you have to be within.
What a dream. Yeah. What a dream.
Yeah. Yeah, Terry Neese. I don't know. I don't know which. Oh, it's called The Perfect Bid, The Contestant Who Knew Too Much. It's a 2017 American documentary film that profiles Ted Slauson, an elementary school mathematics teacher. See, that's the thing. I didn't think he really cheated.
Okay.
He's a super fan of The Price is Right.
Who isn't?
As a kid, I was a super, super fan. And I got really good at guessing, too. Because the more you watch it, the more you kind of get a gauge of... I would never was like to the penny.
Did Bob Barker go through the Me Too movement? Wasn't he a lech?
Was he a lech?
I think he was a creep.
I met him once in an elevator in a medical building. Super nice guy.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's very tall. I was surprised how tall. He's a
stately looking gentleman with that long microphone they used to use in the 70s.
I know.
He never gave that thing up. I think we should podcast with those things.
We should. Come on down. And then, you know, you run into the room.
Right. I would love to have a Price is Right set. If I was a billionaire, I would definitely build one of those. Invite my friends over, you know? Mm-hmm. I'd make them compete for money. I wouldn't just give them money.
Okay. So, can I tell you a little bit about Ted Slauson?
I would love to know more about
Ted. He spent his early life documenting and memorizing the prices on The Price is Right. And when he turned 18, Slauson started traveling to the show to become a contestant. Even when he was not picked from the audience to be a contestant, he yelled out prices, which is famously allowed, right? People shout, higher, $250, right?
Right.
Helping contestants win cash and money on the show. Over many years, Slauson called out the prices to contestants, allowing them to submit the exact price or the perfect bid on various items, and helped a contestant make a perfect bid on the final showcase, helping them win both showcases.
Nice.
A feature of the game, if you don't know.
Altruistic person.
Totaling tens of thousands of dollars. Prior to that, he had helped two other contestants bid within a small margin of error on the final showcase, which allowed them to win both showcases per a feature of the game. After helping a third contestant, Terry Neese, with the perfect bid to win a double showcase of prizes, the show's producer finally started increasing and changing the diversity of the items on the show. So that's the thing, is there's a huge chunk of time where they just show it's similar items all the time, like a certain washer and dryer, a certain brand, because they had sponsorship.
By Amana, the king and queen of, you know, drying machines. And I think it's just basically a running commercial for
product.
Commercialism, right?
Yeah, like and buy more. Also, it was just, I think it was all sponsored. Like this final showcase showdowns, I'd assume the show itself didn't pay that much for them because they're like, brought to you by Delta Airlines. They will fly you on their amazing first class, blah, blah, blah.
It was just a commercial.
Yeah, it's a commercial. We're essentially watching commercials.
But it was fun commercials, right?
You know? Yeah. So they started, you know, diversifying or getting more diversity to their items, including changing the options packages that impact the prices on automobiles. Oh, so the options, which are the highest priced single items available for the contestants. This makes it less likely a contestant can remember the prices by simply watching the show over a long period. Despite Nieces maintaining that he had come up with the perfect bid on his own. Oh, that's what happened. Terry, that's how they're connected. Mm. So Terry Niece maintained he'd come up with the perfect bid. Slauson reveals the truth behind the story that's been misrepresented for years. Ted Slauson is the most known contestant in the history of the show for such accuracy, and he is also banned. Boom. Roasted. People are so interesting.
We live in such a cool place. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't get to play those games in China.
I'm pretty sure you don't. You know. That guy's on trial, a TikTok guy.
Oh, the CEO
of ByteDance?
No, of TikTok.
Oh, of TikTok?
Yeah, TikTok is a subsidiary of ByteDance.
Oh, that's like YouTube being a subsidiary of Google?
Yep.
Gotcha.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
He was well-spoken, articulate.
I mean, he's prepared, right? It's like a five-hour fucking,
yeah.
I don't even know, hearing.
Inquisition.
Yeah.
If he floats, he's a witch, or a communist in this case. If he floats.
And they keep asking. And I'm not going to lie. If he lives in China and he's that powerful and wealthy, he has to be part of the...
I think he lives in America.
Oh, in DC, he said.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who knows? But it's really crazy. The amount that they prepare for that, I mean, the amount of sweat that guy is dripping right now. He looked calm, cool, and collected. But I always wonder, do you guys wonder this too? When you see politicians or CEOs... Like when they were interviewing the people from like Twitter and YouTube and remember, or Google, because it was like Sundir.
Deshay?
Yeah. And then what's his name from Twitter that looks like a homeless person?
Elon Musk?
No, before that.
Oh, yeah, he does look.
Remember, he had a really long, raggedy beard.
He looked unhoused.
He did. Sure. Look, yeah.
Jack.
Jack.
Yeah. Just Jack.
Kerouac. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Jack. No. Anyway, they had all those people on there and. Some of them were very calm, cool, and collected, and some were not. And I actually trust the ones that are not much, much more. Because watching that guy from TikTok look so poised while they're like asking pretty brutal questions and he can't refute it, I'm like, I'd be
rattled.
Yeah. And to not be rattled, I'm like, are you dissociated? Possibly. B, are you a sociopath? Possibly. Or C, I guess, are you a narcissist and you just think you're better than them? So you're like, catch me if you can, motherfuckers, right? And you're like Leonardo DiCaprio in that show, which was based on a real guy. But anyway, it's just crazy to watch.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
And I mean, the use of our data is powerful, I'd assume, to China, right?
Data is the new gold, right? Mm-hmm. It's, or new oil. What's the saying?
I don't know. But speaking of gold, we finished season 3 of Outer Banks.
Ooh, Outer Banks.
Outer. We went all the way out.
I really enjoyed it.
I loved it. I can't wait for season 4.
There were some soft moments, but not really a big deal. I mean, three seasons mm-hmm. of pretty solid writing.
Yeah. There's certain characters you hate. I did not like, but if you aren't going to watch it, if you're worried about spoilers, just disconnect now. But John B's dad, I did not like. Mm. He's such a bully and an asshole.
Big John?
Mm-hmm. But John B does call him out towards the end of season 3 where he's like, you're doing this thing. You like push people away and then you pull them close and you push them away. He's like, that's what you did with mom. That's why she's not here. That's what you've done with me.
But he's a treasure hunter. See, he's obsessed.
But he's just an asshole. I hated him. I was like, I want him to go away.
Well, he did.
I know he did.
And he came back.
Mm-hmm.
And he went away and he came back.
But he bothered me.
They also do this thing with the characters where just like Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, you think they're going to be good.
They're good and then they're bad mm-hmm. and then they're good.
But they're never really, if they're bad, they're never really good. They just claim that they're going to be and they don't do anything shitty for a little while.
Right. And then they go bad. Remember that on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Mm-hmm. I liked it. It was an okay show.
I was. We were addicted to it.
Yeah. We get into bad TV sometimes.
Oh, we watched White Collar. That was a bad show. But I loved that.
That's a good show because... It was all about forgery.
It was.
And
I like the whole, yeah, such a good actor.
He's a good actor.
Mm-hmm. He
He's like, a lollipop kid.
He is big head, little guy. But he has, he's won some Tonys and stuff. I think he's more into Broadway shows. That's like where he came from. But yeah, he's so talented.
You get a show on USA Network, you take it, because that's watched by a lot of people.
Remember there, after we watched White Collar, there was something else with him in it that we started watching, and then it never got, we only had like one season. It was like four episodes. And then we were like, what happened? But nothing is as bad as that Canadian border show that left you on this huge cliffhanger at the end of season. I don't know. We watched it with Larry. Like, we watched it at my mom's house, I think. And we were like addicted to it, watching it like every night, like two, three episodes. We'd be like, okay, we got to go to bed. One more.
Because sometimes bad television is fun. And it's CSIS, I think, which is the border agency.
Yes.
I think it's like the Homeland Security or FBI. Mm-hmm.
And Canada. They were in BC, I want to say, right?
I don't know. I think they were all over. They were running up and down that border.
I run so fast.
Yeah.
But anyway, we watched that show, however many seasons, three, four, I don't know. And then there's this huge cliffhanger. We're like, are they going to die? And then the show got canceled.
Yeah.
And we looked and looked and looked to figure out when the next season would be released.
And then we found out that it was canceled. You know, the characters you're following, they were trapped in the basement of a building. There were terrorists that were coming into the building. There's no escape.
No, we could not figure out. I was like, they had to die.
So, I mean, we went so far as to, we were looking for the script online to see, because it had to have been written.
Well, because they also had re-upped.
Yeah.
And then decided to cancel later on.
Yeah.
Before they went, it was like a week or two before filming was supposed to commence, they canceled.
Did you ever see Portlandia?
You know the scripts exist. Oh,
when they're so obsessed with Battlestar
Galactica. Is it Battlestar Galactica? Yeah. And they're like, one more.
And then they lose everything, but they decide they're going to kidnap the writer and they're going to make him write new episodes.
Mm-hmm. Because they're out of them and they were loving it so much. Yeah, that was so funny because they like didn't go to work because they just kept watching it and they didn't pay their bills. So the electricity went out. Then they called. Of course, they took time to call to get the electricity back.
And then find out that they kidnapped the wrong person. Mm-hmm. But didn't matter because he was now invested in it.
Now he wanted to write more. Yeah. Portlandia is beautiful for that. I think that's there's all sorts of types of comedy, I'm sure. I don't pretend to know all about it or know how it works and all the types. But so there's the self-deprecating kind. There's the observation kind, like a Seinfeld, I would call it. And what Portlandia is taking simple things that we all do to the extreme.
Absurd
comedy. Yeah, you're going into the absurd. So like that's an example, the Battlestar Galactica. Then the other one that I always think is funny was the like safe words and sex. And they're talking seriously a little bit about consent, but then they go into this like, the safe word is cacao.
Cacao.
But it gets so intense because, again, going into the absurd, cacao, like the safe word was supposed to be for consent and it was like a husband and wife. But it got to the point where like even the slightest touch or him getting closer to her, cacao, like it was like essentially, I don't really like you anymore. Stop touching me.
No.
So we always take it all the way.
Yeah.
And that's what makes Portlandia hilarious.
They lampoon characters for sure.
Yeah. Sorry. Last thing on Portlandia that's funny. When they're at the stop sign, and everybody always says this, like people in Oregon or in Portland, like, or it'll be like, oh no, you go first. Oh no, you go first. If you show up to the stop sign together, well, they take it to the extreme where they have a really, a very, very, very slow motion accident.
You go. No, you go. I'll go.
Bonk. They bonk each other at like the slowest pace ever. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
We should watch that a little bit again.
Yeah.
We didn't can't watch it. A ton of it.
Yeah.
The absurd is a little too absurd.
Yeah. You can only do one or two episodes and then move on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, speaking of absurd,
what's
we
absurd?
Live in a glorious time. Ladies and gentlemen,
I thought we lived in a yellow submarine.
We all live there. That's in a commercial right now. And it starts getting stuck in your head.
Was that what I had in my head the other day?
Yeah.
I thought it was something different. But yeah, because do you ever randomly, I always think of Inside Out when I say stuff like that, when I'm like, where'd the song come from? I'm like, those little gremlins in my head are throwing up the funniest song. They're like, we're going to make her remember that one again. But you were like, no, I think it's in a commercial. I was singing it while doing dishes.
Well, the Beatles are lucky, see, because they had that one hit. So everyone remembers them.
Just the one. Just the one.
So we are living in a glorious time. Mm-hmm. And boy, modern medicine is really, we're so fortunate to be living now that mm-hmm. even penguins are, you know, on the they're benefiting from how far along we are. Listen okay. to this. Elderly penguins receive world first custom lenses in successful cataract surgery.
Oh, wow.
We're doing cataract surgery on penguins, guys. This is great.
Is this like testing for?
No, I think they were just trying to help the penguins. You know, look at this guy. He looks.
Oh, look how. What a regal. Distinguished gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Three elderly king penguins have been custom fitted with custom made eye lenses during surgery to remove cataracts in what is believed to be a world first procedure to improve their sight, according to a Singapore zoo.
Interesting. Did they do that on dogs? Because I remember Corny Dog before he got like doggy dementia, essentially. I mean, he was 13, so we had to put him to sleep, unfortunately. But he had cataracts. You could see him, you know? And I swear to God, I could be wrong. Maybe I'm just making it up in like my childhood, like, oh, I have Corny Dog. But I swear the vet said that they could do surgery. My parents were like, that's a lot of money to spend on a 12-year-old dog.
I'm sure they offer it for dogs. They offer everything for your pets now. You can. Yeah,
I know you can spend your life savings trying to save your older pet, your aging pet.
Yeah. A cheaper way to do it is to, when your pet is put to sleep, just have casters put on the bottom of their feet and have them, you know, you can.
Oh, it's like,
you can walk them.
Weekend at Bernie's?
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
No, Sean, that's so bad.
Yeah, that's true. That is bad.
It's so sad though. This sounds terrible to say, but so at my age, most of my friends got dogs when they finally moved out on their own.
Mm.
And a lot of my friends' pets are aging or have passed on. And it's been really sad in the last like 3 years. I want to say like six of my friends have lost their pets. Even Abba and Jesse lost all their pupperoos. Yeah. It's just been really sad to be around. And it makes me sad because I love Roxy so much. I can't even imagine what they're going through. It's like devastating to me. It's so sad. And Harriet was Ziggy, her dog-a-roo.
Yeah, he's a little older.
He's 13. He'll be 13 this year. He's 12 right now. But they think he has Cushing's disease, and she's taken him to the vet, and you know, she's doing all the things that she can, but there's no cure for it.
I don't know what it is.
Affects his liver. I don't really know that. I haven't read the whole thing about it, but there's no cure. And they think he has a heart murmur. So they put him on, he had to see like a doggy cardiologist. And I was like, how much did that cost you? It's like $300, you know, $500. It's like expensive. And she's like, I think I'm tapped out with how much I can.
Does she have insurance?
No.
We should get on that for Roxy.
Everybody tells, you guys let me know. Most of the people in our audience have told me, don't do it. It's a ripoff because you pay so much into it. It's almost like our insurance that you're almost better served just like every month putting have a little savings account for her.
Oh, we should do that. A little health savings mm-hmm. account.
So then it doesn't like hit you where you're like, oh my God, I have to spend $1,000 or.
Let's do that.
Okay. We can do that because everybody said that if you put that amount into a little savings account, so let's say it's going to be $50 a month, just roll that in there.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why should we give it to an insurance company?
Yeah. So they can get rich. And then if you don't need it, you don't use it. And they always have deductibles and stuff on top of it. Anyway, but you guys let me know if you think it's a better idea. I'm open to it. We looked into it. Cause even our veterinarian was like, you can look into it. This one's probably the best, but you know, look and assess. So I've of course asked our audience and they were like, no. So
our mortgage payment went up by 30%.
Yeah.
From last year.
Over $1,000 more.
I was like, what?
It's crazy.
So craft dinner it is.
I know. So we're going to have to figure some stuff out.
Very interesting.
That was very shocking.
Yeah. I was quite surprised. Basically because property tax went up so much.
Mm-hmm.
And we got caught in that.
Well, because our property when we bought it wasn't worth what they're saying it's worth now, even though we've only been here 2 years, because everything went bonkers in Austin, if you didn't realize. It makes me wonder how people with like millions and millions of dollars of homes, how do they talk? It's got to be crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, our tax rate here for real estate is very high mm-hmm. to begin with. So, but it was quite.
It was a shocker.
Sometimes you open a letter and you're like, garbage. You know?
Yeah. Or you're like, oh, it's a bill for like $80.
Sometimes there's a check in there. That doesn't
You never
happen.
Know. No. Randomly, I would get these like, because I had T-Mobile and they had all these like data breaches or whatever. And they're like, you won you know, because they went in like class action, like, here's an $8 check. And you're like, I'm going to go get a Starbucks.
It's just like the game of Monopoly where you get the community chest card. But unfortunately, this one was.
This was not that.
It was closer to a kick in the nuts, I think.
I don't have nuts, but I could imagine. It was like, I think, feel like someone punched me in the stomach.
Yep.
Knocked the wind out of me. Yeah. So that's pleasantries.
So anyways, I'll be dancing at the coach and pole next week. Come on down and see me. Mm-hmm. My show starts at 6 and I'll probably be booed off the stage by 6:30.
You do. What is it from The Office when he's like, you can't unsee a weekday, what was it, Monday at noon stripper or something. He's like, You don't want to do that to yourself, Dwight. He's like, I have to go. He roller skates across the street. That's going to be Sean.
Yeah. Shake it. Don't break it. It took your mama 9 months to make it.
There's this country song that's like, I'm just trying to keep my daughters off the pole and my son out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
it's a newer song.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get into some of these letters. And we have one from Jules and it is entitled Doggy Tales. Are you naughty or nice or just a bit spicy?
Oh,
I'm excited about it. Says, hiya, Sean and Katie. I hope you're all well and enjoying a fresh season for 2023 so far. So far, so good. Like I said last week, I finally feel like it is the new year. So 2023, here we go.
Yeah, it's great. I feel good.
Says, I can totally relate to the Roxy drama with my Willow as she's a double terrier, a Bellington and a Staffy. Bedlingtons, maybe it's Bellingtons, do not like the word no. She is so stubborn. So I was doing a consultation with a new therapist because I was trying to find a new therapist. And I just had to walk her because she was like whining. So I was like, oh, Sean, I'll try to take the call around. But I can't walk everywhere. If anybody doesn't know, Austin is what's called hill country. And if you go, like, there's tons of trees. So sometimes you, like, turn a corner and you, like, lose service. So I was like, we can stay in the park. But she did not want, she was, like, pulling me the whole time. And I was, like, having to mute myself and be like, stop it. And then unmute, but she would not listen. So I've had to use other ways to train Willow, such as using a physical nudge, which is what puppies do when their mates overstep. Oh yeah, when they like boop them, like push them. Jules, teach us your ways. And a timeout. Willow is not as good as Roxy, as she is dominant reactive to other girl dogs, which can make me anxious, but I'm very careful. I am super strict, but I try to keep relaxed body language. Sorry, I lost my place. I'm super strict, but try to keep relaxed body language as much as I can. And I have gotten stressed, especially if the other owners are not helpful. I know. Luckily, most of our neighbors are pretty cognizant. Like, they don't just walk their dog right over to you or anything. Most people's dogs are like her, where they just like kind of pull because they want to play. And so they'll like cross the street. So like, I don't want to deal with it. And that's what I do too. If I see them first, I'll cross. But she's been okay with people walking by. I pull her off of the sidewalk. So the person walking has the sidewalk because there's just not enough room for all of us. And I'll pull her off and she's fine. She just, once she realizes they're passing us, she wants to watch them walk away. I'm like, okay, creeper, but that's fine. I'm super strict. Oh, there we go. I always have extra leads. Like I have a slip lead as well as a harness lead and a halty head collar, which can be extra helpful to at train stations or around busy areas. Oh, that is smart. So you have like multiple ways to control your animal. That's good to know. And we have a slip collar too, that if we're just like throwing it on her to take her out, because that's, our trainer had told us to have that, remember?
Which one's the slip collar?
The one that's just a loop.
Over. I don't like that at all. I keep thinking she's going to hurt her neck because she pulls until it's like super tight.
Yeah. But that's what they use to train them, because then you can let it loose and then pull tight real quick and let it loose.
Oh yeah. I'm always worried that I'm going to hurt her
trachea throat. Or whatever. Yeah. I know.
So I don't, like, if it had a wider padding on the loop, I'd be okay. But this is like, it's like a, I don't know.
Well, that's the one she recommended. Like, I don't
mafia
know.
Mafia hitman, you know? Behind
you. I know, you do have to be careful, but you shouldn't pull steady for a long time. It's like a more like a pinch and go kind of thing, I think, but I could be wrong. Oh, okay. Anyways, back into it. We're moving on to naughty or nice or just a bit of spice. I love that. Okay, so I've recently been trying to book various social events for myself, you and me both. Though the adventures so far have led to a few mishaps and then some. Okay, so I booked a social workshop after work. I had just enough time to get there by train and had a taxi booked at the station. Look at you, so prepared. I booked the tickets online. However, the tickets had to be downloaded off the internet. I had no Wi-Fi. That's my biggest fear. When we went to the hockey game with your sister, I downloaded and screen grabbed them, all the things, early when we were at the house, because one of the reviews from Ticketmaster for the those particular games was like, I couldn't pull them up when I was at the thing, and it's so frustrating. Why couldn't they look it up? I had my order number, and I get it.
I'm a traditionalist. I don't do
you
the...
You like to print?
I tried for a little while using my iPhone and putting the tickets inside of the app, the ticket app or whatever, but I never really got into it. I like to have a physical ticket.
Well, I feel like physical tickets never lose battery power or never without Wi-Fi. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's a good backup. So I don't think that's wrong at all.
Yeah.
And to this, I mean, although recently, I guess when we travel, I don't print things out anymore. I used to print out tickets and stuff.
Yeah.
But I do print, like when we went to LA and we rented a car, I had printed out our car rental thing because
it's good.
I was afraid that like I wouldn't be able to find it. And it was so complicated, the emails that were sent with the order, the numbers and confirmations. Okay. So she had no Wi-Fi, but I did have the receipt.
Oh.
Bah-bah. So I got to my stop and I spoke to the guard and I showed him my ticket receipt. And I tried to explain that the travel ticket won't show as I don't have Wi-Fi. The guard was not interested and just said, you need to scan your ticket. I tried to explain, I have paid. Here's my receipt. And I have a taxi waiting for a meeting. I asked him to get a manager. As he was at the office, another passenger went through the machine gate and I just slipped past through the gate. I would have too.
I like your style.
I like your style. That's smart. And I waved to the office. I have a receipt and I left the station. I would have too. Fuck that shit. Now, if anyone knows me well enough, they would know that I don't usually get up to mischief. I may try to be assertive and it can go wrong, but I usually try and do the right thing. You and me both. But sometimes you realize you're in a losing situation and you know you're not doing anything wrong. Really? Like if they wanted to look it up, be like, here's my receipt. I already paid. My ticket's just not pulling up.
Right.
Can I hop on your Wi-Fi and download? Then we'll all be fine. I made the workshop. Yay. Which was refreshing. And I felt good after. But then I needed to get back home. So again, I got to the station to return home and I showed my receipted ticket. This other guard also wasn't helpful. It was quite late, like 9 or 10 p.m. at night. I needed to get home to Willow and work the next day. I was not messing around. So as the guard wasn't helpful, I spotted a chair nearby and I saw my chance. I just climbed on the chair and jumped the barrier. Yep. Sure I did. I sure did.
It's like the the music video for Bad with Michael Jackson. Do you remember that?
I don't remember it, but I know the song.
All those toughs, they jump the turnstile.
Oh, yeah. In New York, you can get big.
Oh, yeah. What is it? The MTA, the Metro Transit
Authority? They're right there in that little booth. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Patrolling.
They see me rolling. Okay. So Jules just jumped that thing. I was shaking from nerves and all the good, calm feelings from the workshop had been gone. And I realized that I was back in the reality of the real world. I made my way to the platform only to find out the train home had been canceled and the next one was over an hour away. But I managed to get on the train, no problem, and got home late and exhausted. How hard or easy do you find it to be just a little bit naughty or spicy? Have a lovely week, Jules. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever... I'm sure I've been up to mischief. I just can't think of any.
You?
Yeah.
I think you break the law in some ways, but you don't think you're breaking the law.
How so?
You are a speed demon on the freeway.
Used to be, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you'll do like 5 miles over.
It's not even a speed demon.
See what I'm talking about, guys? She's
breaking
the law, breaking the law.
I feel like as a kid, though, I mean, one example, which I think I've already shared this example, but in high school, my freshman year of high school, we had, so I grew up in a small town. So there's a bunch of neighboring towns.
Saskatoon.
Mm-hmm. Grew up in Regina. But anyway, all the little towns, you know everybody because their town's just as small. So people date people and are friends with people, play sports with people in other teams from all over the county, essentially, because again, small towns and it's country. So you're like, the next town is just like 3 more exits up the highway. So anyway, I my friend Jamie and I were both going out with, because this is like, you have to use those terms because you weren't really dating anybody because no one really drove and there wasn't much you could do, but you're going out with boys from a neighboring town. And they had a dance, but the rules were that they couldn't invite girls or people really outside of their school.
Did you have names for your dances? Like the Enchantment Under the Sea?
Yes, we had like themes.
What was the name of this one?
Well, this one was just Sadie Hawkins.
What, I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
Sophie B. Hawkins.
Or was this one, maybe this was Spring Fling. I don't know what Sadie Hawkins means, actually.
That's okay.
Sadie Hawkins. I thought so. It's when women invite men. So this was not the one. Because Sadie Hawkins is, and we had that at my school. And I had taken somebody totally different to that, but that's when girls ask guys, so the guys have to wait. It's kind of fun. Yeah. But this one was Spring Fling. And so the guys that we were like, quote unquote, going out with, and I'm like trying to think of how long we even like went out with these people, maybe like a week or two. But
gotta keep it fresh.
Yeah. Well, and it was just, we were so young too. And I'm like, I don't even know if we really dated or they like asked us out and then we would like, would never turn
in
anything.
Gotta be careful in a small town like that though, because one, it could be your cousin, and two, you know, there's not that many people because it's a small village. So instead of being like 2 weeks of going out, you should probably stretch to like 6 weeks so that you don't burn through the supply.
Then you're out. Yeah. Yeah, you're like, well, when new kids come to town, people are like, oh, new somebody. Ooh. But anyway, so they wanted us to come to their dance or whatever. And so they went to the dance and then let us in the back door. Mm-hmm. We snuck in, and then my mom got called. Both our moms got called. And then my mom did that back of the arm pinch when she's like, you embarrassed me, because we know everybody, right? And how I thought I'd get away with being at a dance where there are parent chaperones that are like my friend's parents. I don't know what I thought I was doing.
Got to go in disguise, Katie.
Yeah, but I wanted to look my best. I had my flower clips in my hair.
Oh.
Think of the times, Sean. Super cool. I was wearing like a light yellow, like silk kind of flowery dress, Spring Fling, right? We had makeup done. Jamie and I had done our best. Had all of my lip gloss.
Lip smackers.
Yep. Anyway, we got caught immediately. And then our moms were called and they
bought. Feels good to be bad though, right?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I don't really get the rush from that. I get more of a rush from like an adrenaline rush of doing something that's risky, like a mountain biking or something, you know.
Or combat juggling, perhaps, that can interest you in.
Yes, that. Also that. What's something you did where you were being bad?
Oh my God. You name it.
Just tell me about it. You got to tell us some stories, Sean.
One time we were really bad. I mean, it was pretty much all week long, every day throughout high school. But I remember one time me and my buddies, a bunch of hooligans, we were hanging out at a park, this place, Terracotta. But we weren't actually at Terracotta. We were on the other side. You'd be up on a ridge, and you'd have to go down into the community park, and then you go up to get into the woods where kids would hang out.
Yeah.
But we were hanging out, and there was a van that pulled up, and it was probably like 9 o'clock at night. Delivery van. And the guy, we were just standing there watching, and he opened the back of his van, and he pulled out a rack of donuts.
Ooh.
And they smelled so good, and they were warm. And it must have been going to a function. I forget what building we're outside of, but it smelled so good. And we were all just young, hungry teenagers, terrorizing the neighborhoods at that time, you know. And
so he was making his delivery.
Yeah.
So even though you were at this park, he was like at this donut shop making a delivery.
He was delivering to maybe a function, maybe a parent teacher.
Oh, yeah. He said an event. Okay. Yeah, okay. It was like their dessert,
warm donuts,
I guess,
at 9 o'clock. And with the van doors open, as soon as he walked away, we like descended upon that van and had our way with all those donuts that were left. Because there was racks, you know, baker's racks in the back of it. Mm. And we took out like 3 racks of donuts and ran away. And we ate them all.
3 racks of donuts. How big are these racks? I'm picturing like really large.
Yeah, there was probably like 100 donuts in there. And, you know, you take 12 kids.
Oh, there were 12 of you.
Yeah, there was a bunch of us. And anyways, the guy saw us. And so we ran, you know, and there were donuts kind of flying. I know it's not the most exciting story, but we called it the Great Donut Heist.
It is a great donut heist.
It really sucked for him, you know, but when you're 15 or 14 years old. And
you don't really think about the effects. Yeah. You know,
like, I hopefully didn't get in trouble. Mm-hmm. But boy, we had the energy of a thousand kids, you know, with all that sugar.
Well, each person, yeah, had their
that There's spell. A photo somewhere around of us all standing with like powdered sugar all over us. And,
oh, a powdered sugar donut's even had better.
A disposable camera.
Oh, funny.
This film.
Yeah.
Mm. That's not the best story, I just realized. I mean, it's kind of...
The best donut heist.
Yeah.
The donut
The great heist. Donut heist.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the 80s. That's like 1989.
Yeah. It's funny. I'd never really... Like I said, I didn't really get up to much mischief. And also, I feel like in the country, there's a different level. There's just different types of mischief. Like people going mudding and getting onto other people's property. And like cow tipping was a thing. Although it's just funny because a lot of people don't realize that most cows, they like sleep laying down. And so, you know, it's kind of a joke to call it cow tipping because it's like not.
You're just knocking over a cow that's just standing there?
Also, cows weigh a lot. Like, you can't just go push on a cow.
Do they run away?
I don't. They usually lay down, and they're usually in the barn. Like, they go into the barn at night. So they don't get, like, I don't know, attacked by coyotes.
Right.
Because cows are not. It's just kind of a. And maybe I'm blowing some of your brain, like, or maybe you're where you live, they don't do this. But where I grew up, it was kind of a joke. It was like you would tell someone we're going to go cow tipping, and someone who wasn't like actually, because even though I grew up in the country, there are people who lived in the city of my city who were like city slickers. And then there were us rural kids. And so it'd be like a joke to be like, oh, we're going to go cow tipping, because you really can't. Like, first of all, one person can't push over a cow, FYI. Two, most farmers bring all of their cows into the barn at night. So they're not out sitting in the field. Why would they be standing in the dark? Also, if cows are out in a field, FYI, because they're not predators, because they're herbivores, right? They don't eat meat. They're not like chasing anything. They stand in circles facing out with their butts all toward each other as a way to like protect the herd, I guess, if you will. So that you never just have a lone cow just standing on its own. I don't know where cow tipping came from. I kind of want to look it up. Because it was a joke, essentially, with to bring people out cow tipping. But anyway, we got into mischief of a different kind. Like you country snuck into mischief. Someone's barn and yeah.
Yeah, country mischief. Mm-hmm.
But and if you don't close up someone's barn, then the cows can get out and that's right. Bad, you know. So yeah, it's just country mischief.
Yeah.
Okay, so cow tipping. This is just Wikipedia. See, cows routinely lie down to sleep. Spoilers. I haven't seen them
just like Roxy.
I haven't seen them on their side like that, but usually they're like, they lay like that on their front with their head up. Cow tipping is a purported activity of sneaking up on any unsuspecting or sleeping upright cow and pushing it over for entertainment. The practice of cow tipping is generally considered an urban legend, and stories of such feat are viewed as tall tales. Okay. So I was like, I don't know if some other types of cows are different, but it doesn't sound like I'm weird. The implication that rural citizens seek such entertainment due to lack of alternatives is viewed as a stereotype. The concept of cow tipping, apparently developed in the 70s through tales of animals that cannot rise if they fall, has historical antecedents dating back to the Roman Empire. Cows routinely lie down. They even do in the daytime.
And when, then they stand up. So it's yep. not like
they And they can easily up. Regain their footing unless they're sick or injured. Scientific studies have been conducted to determine if cow tipping is theoretically possible, with varying conclusions. All agree that cows are large animals that are difficult to, to surprise. This just makes me laugh because I remember we had taken somebody out to go cow tipping. And first of all, they stepped in cow shit immediately because they weren't paying attention. They didn't have rubber boots on. Mistake number one, which was funny. We all laughed at them because it goes up to like your pants, like it go, your foot goes in it.
It's a big
pile of dung.
A big pie.
Yeah, it's a big pie. And so we all laughed. And then they ran and tried to push into the cow and the cow just leaned in and they fell over. And it was just the funniest. That's like my only recollection of this quote unquote cow tipping extravaganza that we try to get people to sign up for. Anyways, estimates suggest a force of between 3,000 and 4,000 newtons, which means 670 to 900 pounds of force. So that's how much to knock them over. Because they're so big, like they're gonna resist attempts to be pushed over just like a human would. They'd be like, what are you doing?
Hey.
Hey. Like, if I even try to push our little girl over, she like, ooh, you know,
move away.
Anyway, so yes, that, anyway, we would joke with people on that. And, but mudding was our most popular thing.
I've never really been mudding before. Mm. Ooh, one time though, I got in a car with someone I shouldn't.
Mm.
Me and a friend and I mm-hmm. got into another person's car who is a mutual acquaintance of another friend. Anyways.
A friend of a friend of a friend.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Said, oh, I can give you guys a lift home from, I think we're coming back from a party. I shouldn't have gotten in the car. But he decided that he was going to save some time on the drive home.
Not go over a frozen river. No. No what? Lake? A frozen lake?
No.
Did you fall in?
Oh. No, it wasn't a frozen lake. It was a golf course. So instead of driving around the golf course, Steve decides.
There's fences.
Well, so he drove onto the golf course. And it was actually, there wasn't fences. There were like wooded just areas.
The, that yeah, and of, like went through the ditch kind of area, yeah.
Yeah, and he was going faster and faster. And I was like, oh my God,
we're and on golf a golf course. And golf courses are like vroom, vroom.
Yes, exactly. It's not like a road.
It's not a road.
And there's a golf cart path, but he was not on that. So he was, and then he's fishtailing and ruining
the golf course. I would say ruining the grass.
And I was like, I want to get out of the car. This doesn't seem safe. Yeah. And I turned to my friend Dave. I'm like, Dave, I want to get out of the car. Dave's like, yeah, we got to get out of the car. So he asked him to pull over on the golf course and let us out. The guy was just, he'd lost his mind. He was having so much, you know, he's like, whipping the car.
Was he drunk? Probably.
No, but he was crazy. he was one of those people who gets mm-hmm. really excited.
Mm-hmm.
And
you tend to be around those people.
Yeah.
Those people give me the willies.
Yeah. And so it started getting rougher. Boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, oh my God.
Did the car stall? I'd hope so.
Jump out. We're going fast. And then all of a sudden we're in an accident. Car, you know, comes to a complete stop, except we're pointed down. So we're in the back seat, my buddy Dave and I.
So you're like, cool.
And this guy had like a drum set, or not a drum set, but
did it fly forward?
It was like a bongo. Yeah. And that was in the front seat. So that's why we weren't in the front seat. But this guy, Steve, had crashed and hit the steering wheel, and the windshield was like damaged where on his side, but he wasn't ejected.
He had
a seatbelt,
okay.
But he was dazed. And so was I, but I had my seatbelt on as well.
Good.
I undid my seatbelt and I fell into the chair or fell against the chair that was in front of me.
Yep.
Cause I'm in the back.
The passenger seat. Uh-huh.
Yep. And, I opened the door and I look and the car was literally like, on its pew. Nose.
Was it in a sand pit or something?
Yeah, well, sort of. There was like a feature on the golf course, you know, where you tee off.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the tee box, it was like
a drop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was enough for the car to land on its nose. So maybe like 6 feet, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I just remember looking, I was like, oh my God. And so my buddy Dave and Dave was like,
like pulled against him. Yeah.
He'd really like hurt himself. I was totally fine for the most part. And we got out of the car and we ran away.
I would have too.
We left Steve that there. Guy. I was like,
that guy's crazy.
You know, while we checked if he was okay. And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. You know, he was all, and he wanted us to help him move his car. I'm like, we're going to get in trouble. So and Dave just lived on the other side of the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it was just a friend of a friend who wouldn't pull over.
Also, driving like a maniac. Yeah. What happened is 100% his fault.
Yeah, yeah. And so we ran away. I don't think I ever saw him again after that either.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I wouldn't want to see him again.
He was a nut job though. And I was kind of worried that we'd run into him.
And he'd be like, you left me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't help me. Allah.
Yeah, that is a little sketchy.
Yeah.
But
running away was kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. You're like, bye.
Yeah, in the moonlight, you could loser. See the car sitting on its nose on the golf course.
Yeah. Man. Did you ever hear what happened? I'm sure.
He
got in trouble.
I would assume so.
He probably had to pay restitution because he fucked up
course. It wasn't his car, though. Steve had claimed to be a mechanic and he was fixing the car for someone else. Yeah.
Wow.
It took me a little while to think about because this would be 20, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. 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 So he messed up someone else's car. He was doing body work on it or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't feel safe getting in a car, don't get in a car. I remember my friend Cammy had this really bad boyfriend who was such just a horrible driver and would always say he hadn't been drinking and he had. Yeah. And I remember we were out in Hollywood and this was, you have to remember the times. This would be like what, 2006?
Okay.
So, or 2007 maybe, Uber and Lyft didn't exist. That wasn't a thing. You called a taxi, but in Hollywood, because it's such a busy going out area, you hail a taxi, kind of like you're in New York a little bit, you know, and they get you, or you call the number. And it was always, I want to say it was like 310 or 818, something, 3333 was always the taxi number.
Taxi.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Taxi, exactly. And so everybody pretty much, I'm surprised I still remember part of those numbers, but that was the number you remember, you call it, and they'd come and get you. And so I remember her boyfriend at the time, he was like, I can drive and blah, blah. And he went and got the car and was like, get in the car. And I just remember thinking like, this guy is wasted. Like, there's no way I'm getting. And Cammy got in the car and I was like, you got to get the fuck out of that car. And I stood on the side and he's like, get in the car. And I was like, you have to leave me here. And I was like, I'm not getting in that car. You're drunk. And I said, and I hope you get a DUI because this is stupid. And you're putting people's life. And I made like a big hope. You know me. I can really get myself all worked up. And I like really was like, you're a fucking piece of shit. Can't believe you put people in your car. Put people in danger. I'm like, pay $20 and park your car across the street. And he did. And we took a taxi home. And we lived to tell the tale.
Good.
But always take a Lyft or Uber. Trust your gut. Don't get in a car with someone when they're... And you know, like you're like, that guy was... Steve's crazy. Cammy's boyfriend was crazy. And she dumped him, so it's good. Okay. Last letter?
Yep. We're going to have to...
We have a letter from our... What is it? Electricity and radio correspondent, Ben?
Oh, our chief science officer and Tesla. Well, it could be Elon
Musk.
Oh, Tesla.
Yeah. It could be Elon Musk. Yes. Okay. Yeah. From Ben. It's entitled Riding the Bus. Remember we were talking about the bus? It says, hey, Katie and Sean, in episode 141, you talked about riding the bus. Like Katie, I rode the bus when I was going to college, and it took almost the same amount of time to get to school for me, and I didn't have to pay for parking, so it was a win-win. Isn't that awesome? I love those. Parking was something like $150 a month at the university. That's highway robbery. That
is expensive, especially when you're a university student.
Yeah.
You should be making this free. Incentivize people.
Right? Parking in New York is crazy. For people to have a car in New York City proper, insanity. I remember Bonnie, our friend Bonnie, it's was like telling us.
$1,200 a month or something.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Crazy. And the bus pass was only $40 a month or so, as I recall. Yeah, mine was 20, 25 or something, but I got a discount because I worked at this certain little area too, so I got that discount. I did have one memorable moment on the bus in December. There was a mother-daughter, and the daughter being maybe 4 or 5 years old. When a few people were leaving, she wished them a Merry Christmas, and the mom chewed her out, saying that she should say something more like Happy Holidays in case someone was offended. It's interesting. We lived in LA for so long that because, if you don't know, Los Angeles is a huge city and a melting pot of people of all religious backgrounds and beliefs and whatevers. And there's a huge Jewish population there. So you do get into the habit of just saying Happy Holidays because you don't know if they, you know, celebrate Hanukkah or Christmas or whatever. It was like, that's just what we say.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, I think, should just be taken as well wishes.
I think it is.
And I don't think anyone takes offense to that.
I don't think
so either. If you're offended by someone saying, hey, you know, happy times.
Yeah.
Well, then you're...
I think you're looking for a reason to be offended because no one means offense by that. But I'd just gotten the habit of that. And when we moved to Texas immediately, because we moved in May. And so that December, people are like, Merry Christmas, Merry. And I was like, oh, it's funny. It was like where I grew up. That's what people say where I grew up. So it was just kind of funny to me to recognize that I say Happy Holidays and people say Merry Christmas. And it doesn't matter. Again, no one's going to be offended. Says there were at least a few people on the bus that wished this girl a Merry Christmas when she got off. That's cute. Yeah. Says, thanks for all you do, Ben.
Well, cute. Thanks, Ben.
Cutie, cute, cute, cute. Ooh, and we have something coming next week from Tom and greetings from Israel.
Oh, from Israel.
So stay tuned.
Excellent. Hey, before we go, I was on our Discord server, popped in, take a look. Yes. And it was really interesting. David, our prime minister.
David Redacted.
Yeah, he had just shared something.
The Honorable David Redacted. Yes.
Had shared that he was having a hard time just in general. Last year wasn't the best year. You know, he was having a hard time. He said, well, I'd been burning the candle at both ends with school and work. And he had already didn't have enough candle wick.
Yeah, you know, you're like out of your wick already.
He's already, you know, exhausted. So he decided that he was going to cut back on the school, on his classwork. Yeah. And cut back on some of his work hours and try and work on, you know, being a healthier version of himself going forward this year. And I just wanted to say it resonated for whatever reason. I was reading it. I was like, oh,
yeah, I feel that too.
Yeah. I'm wishing you well. I hope that, you know, that this spring finds you in a good place. I know that, you know, Massachusetts has rough weather, but the spring is here. I would assume pretty soon you're probably getting glimpses of nice weather and thinking about you. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah. Yeah, it is tough. And I first of all, I applaud you for just realizing that, because we can so often just be like kind of asleep at the wheel in that way, where it's like, oh, got to keep going, got to keep doing it. Da, da, da. But you feel the ripple effects. So yeah, it's good on you for taking action to make things better. And 2023 is going to be, it's going to be so much better. Yeah. I've got faith.
And I think that's for everyone out there as well. You know, instead of picking up bad coping habits, like me, I'll stay awake forever, you know?
Yeah. Sean like doesn't sleep. It's crazy.
Yeah. But you know, the fact that you said, hey, I'm going to focus on myself. And I was like, you know what? I got to do that too. So, yeah.
So thanks for the reminder, David.
Yep.
Take care of yourself. Everyone, enjoy your weekend. You take care of yourself, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.